Please pray with me and for me. Lord, may the meditations of my mind and the love of you in my heart allow me to proclaim your message fully and faithfully. Amen. Amen. Well, with Thanksgiving being over, we begin into what the more traditional of us call the true holiday season. Beginning with Thanksgiving and ending with New Year's Day, although the retailers are increasingly trying to push it to Halloween or even Labor Day. The church calendar is a bit different. It begins with the first Sunday of Advent, so this is the last Sunday of the church year. Happy New Church Year. As typically happens when we reach the end of the year, we look back and become more introspective. One of the things that impacts our lives, ideally on a daily basis, is our faith. Today we celebrate the Feast of Christ the King, a time when we pause at the end of the church year to reflect on Christ as our King. The feast day gives us an opportunity to reflect on something special about our faith. Today we focus on the fact that Jesus Christ is our King. Now that's a simple statement to make, but let's look a little deeper into what that really means. A king in this land is a bit of an abstract concept, since the only one we ever had we threw out with a revolution. We watched the ones from other countries, but they all eventually had failings because they were human. We, on the other hand, have a king who is divine as well as human. Having both aspects in Christ is critical. He not only reigns over us, but he can, because of his human side, empathize with us. We need to understand the sacrifices that Christ made to be in that position. First, let's start with what kings do. A king is supposed to take care of his people, to protect them and nurture them and judge them. In our reading today, God, including Christ as part of the triune God, states that, "I seek out my sheep and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness." In other words, he will come after us and bring us back to him even when we scatter due to difficult and dark times. He goes on to say that he will feed us with good pasture, so he'll provide for us. This nurturing aspect was mentioned again in the psalm we just stated. We are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. If we live our lives according to his will and his ways, he will take care of us. But this is not a one-way street. There are things expected of us. We were provided a synopsis of these with the Ten Commandments. We are to live by his rules. This isn't a restriction, but rather opens the door to a better life for us as Christ's flock. We can recall in Romans 8:28 that we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Now, a king also serves as our judge, the judge of his people. Today's gospel talked about the final judgment and mentions before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. In short, he will judge who will be with him and who will be called out. Okay, so we know our side of the equation. We strive to follow Christ's laws and obey his will. Then he will provide for us and protect us. He'll watch over us and love us so much that he will provide grace so that we can be seen as righteous in God's eyes and not called out with the goats. Many of us have been in a position of leadership, and it is not what people think. They think it's power and freedom to do what you want, when really it's an encumbrance and a full of restrictions. You can go from being one of the many to being responsible for the many, and that's quite daunting. I remember when I became a rescue chief and how the elation of attaining that goal quickly dissipated when I realized I was now responsible not only for my people, but all the patients they treated and the community in general. That was a really sobering thought. True leadership is not about having power, but providing for your people, your organization, and the public. In Jesus' case, the entire world, now and forever. That's a seriously challenging job description. Kings often have to sacrifice some of themselves for the betterment of those they serve. When we think of Christ's sacrifices for us, we often go straight to the cross. But that really is the culmination of his trials. We first have to remember that Christ sacrificed part of his divinity to come down from heaven and be made man. That would be a tough gig to walk away from. He endured many difficulties while on earth. He came down to save mankind, but we certainly didn't make it easy for him. The Pharisees and Sadducees were constantly testing him and plotting against him. In the wilderness, he was tempted by Satan and offered the entire world. Do you remember what his answer was? Nobody told me there'd be a quiz. Said, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord our God and serve him only.'" He not only slammed Satan, but reminded him of God's rule that Satan had walked away from long ago. Even knowing that was coming, he attended to God's will, despite suffering. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed for God, saying, "If it is possible, let this cup pass from me." But he also realized that the Father's will was an important thing, and when he prayed a second time, he concluded with, "Your will be done." He chose to exchange his heavenly crown for one of thorns, to suffer anguish and humiliation in order to save us from sin and death. He earned his kingship with his sweat and blood, and ultimately by giving his own earthly life, so that sin and death, the results from it, could be vanquished for us. Truly deserving of his kingship and our unending praise and thanksgiving, we choose to be his subjects and fill our lives with love while pouring ourselves out for the God of love. When we live this kind of life, Jesus can come find a home within us, ruling our hearts. From there, he can continue his redemptive mission. We were provided a king who promised to never leave or forsake us and has proven time and again. The king has provided the gift of grace through faith. He taught us lessons in order to equip us to live a better life by following his word and examples in mission and ministry. He also tasked us to serve the world as agents of his transforming love. Recall in the gospel how he said, "As you did it to the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." We are to treat others as we would him. We are to proclaim his good news to all the world by word and example. On the Feast of Christ the King, we celebrate the one through whom the entire universe was created, and in whom it was being recreated, and by whom it will be ultimately reconstituted and handed back to the Father at the end of all time. As with each end, in this case, the feast, the end of the church year, we also come to a new beginning. Each omega or ending is followed by an alpha or beginning. Next week, we begin the season of Advent, when we are invited to prepare ourselves and the world of our own time for the coming of the Lord, including his final coming as Christ the King. Today we get the added extra of being able to witness a different type of Alpha, a baptism where we welcome new members into our congregation in the body of Christ. While it is always good to welcome new members into the body, whether adults or infants, this sacrament is emblematic of a new beginning. I'd like to include a quote I thought appropriate because it reflects how Christ as our King impacts all of our life, not just that we come to church on Sunday. It's from Deacon Keith Fournier. "We do not really go to church. We live in the church and go into the world. To bring the world through the waters of new birth into the church is a new home and a new family. There we will find the grace needed to begin a whole new way of living." It reminds me of a church I visited while giving ham radio license exams. As you left their parking lot, a sign said, "To the mission field." A simple yet poignant way to remind us that we are to continue Christ's mission of taking him and the gospel into the world. As we begin the new church year next week, the first Sunday in Advent, let us focus on looking forward by resolving out to get out into the mission field. It can be done personally or as a congregation by our supporting one or more of the groups who have visited us over the last several weeks. The important thing is to serve our King by getting him and the gospel out there. Amen.